Welcome to episode 75 of Inside the Cage. Mark and Scott with you as always. Apologies for the gap in our schedule. We had a new member of the team added last week, Mark, yeah?
Yeah, well, this should really be episode 76, shouldn't it? But my little one decided he was going to pop up early, and he arrived 6 days early, so... there's another wee MMA fan in the world now.
Well, congratulations, mate.
Thank you very much, mate.
He's an absolute cracker.
He is. I know every parent says it, but he is fucking perfect. But there we go. I know every parent likes to say it, but I guess...
You're biased, but of course.
Of course, that's what I'm saying. Every parent likes to say that Wayne's perfect, but he is perfect, so it's...
Well, I suppose that's a decent enough excuse for missing an episode, you know what I mean?
Well, the wife was in labour when we were kind of... Obviously, we usually kind of record the show Monday night. We kind of routine between maybe 7 and 9 and try and get out for first thing Tuesday morning. But the wife was in labour basically all day on Monday, so we had absolutely no chance.
Well, good, man. Good. Excellent. I guess, we moved straight into it. Man, we've got so much talk because we missed last week. Guys, there's so much going on. Some of it we've not even seen, to be honest with you. It's just been
the midweek card, I've known a second to sit and watch it. I got a chance to watch Saturday night's card, but I just known a second to watch the midweek card.
Yeah.
Especially with the five main card fights went all the distance, do you know what I mean? That's brutal. But anyway.
Well, we'll run through what we've seen and stuff like that. We can always mention wee bits and pieces, but we'll start with what is freshest in UFC Fight Night, Figueiredo versus Benavidez 2.
And our new flyweight champion.
And our new flyweight champion. Obviously, there was always going to be a new champion, but man, this was a... I don't know why, I'm not exactly shocked by this outcome, obviously, in the main event, but at the same time, I was shocked about how much they're on different levels. If you know what I mean? Like, I'm not shocked that Figueiredo won. I don't think I'm really shocked about how he won, but just the difference in levels, I think, kind of took me by surprise, if I'm honest.
See, for me, whenever I watch Figueiredo, I always thought Figueiredo was a level above anything within that division. Mm-hmm. I know he got the loss to Formiga a while back, in fact, it was last year. But apart from that, he's a level above anything for me within that division.
Yeah.
I think eventually, I would still like to see him fight Cejudo because he hasn't fought Cejudo yet.
No.
If Cejudo ever decides to come back. And to be honest, I fancy him against Cejudo. And just a wee shout out, I've just realised he's got the exact same birthday as me, but that's a different matter. I think David Figueiredo is just a level above anything within that division. I think he will hold that title for the next few years, unless, as I said, maybe somebody was to come down for the flyweights, the bantamweights, or Cejudo comes back, and maybe that would give him a challenge. But he was superb on the night. He really was, man. He hits with so much power. He's frightening, man. A wee guy like that, hitting like that power, it was unbelievable. It really was.
He's got some serious power in the arms, man. It's quite scary. But, I mean, as well as he looked, Benavidez just looked lost, man. It's just such a shame because obviously now everyone's talking about, is he like one of the best and never won a title and all that stuff? And he's probably up there in that conversation, but it's just such a shame, man.
Yeah, he probably is up there in that conversation, as you say. But I think, for me anyway, there's always been that something wee bit missing that would allow him to go and win a title. I know, obviously, the division, there's been three champions in that division. You've had DJ, you've had Cejudo, and now you get Figueiredo. I think he beat Cejudo a couple of years back, didn't he?
Yeah, he beat Cejudo just after Cejudo got beat by DJ.
So you look at it and you go, he's been beat by DJ twice. He's actually beat Cejudo. So, apart from, you know what I mean? Obviously, he's lost to Figueiredo twice now, hasn't he? So,
yeah, so, I mean, you look at that. So, four of his seven losses have come against the champs. You know, two against Figueiredo and two against DJ.
Yeah.
And another fact, two of them were against Dom Cruz, who's, you know, one of the best to do it at Bantam. So, it's not as if he's lost to bad fighters. Do you know what I mean?
No, he's never lost to a bad fighter for me.
He's just never been able to make that final step, mate, that final jump, and I think that's the worst part. It's such disappointed for him, to be honest.
Yeah, everybody seems to love wee Joe, didn't he, man? He seems to be a bit of a character that everybody just absolutely loves and everybody wants to do well. And I think he was the kind of, they probably were a bit of the fans' choice on Saturday night, and the commentators and stuff like that. I'd probably love to see Joseph Benavidez win that, because there's plenty of time for Figueiredo to probably win that title. But wee Joe's getting on a bit now, and he's about 35, so I'm going to say he's coming to the end of his career. He's obviously a flyweight. They could probably go longer than most of the fighters because of the just the way their bodies are, and the fact that they're smaller is just makes them easier maybe to go last longer. But I don't know what's next for Joe. I really don't. That's the fight that Joseph Benavidez needs now, because I don't know where there is left for him. And I don't want to say that, because as I say, everybody likes him. Everybody likes, wants to see him involved in some way, one way or another.
Yeah. It's a shame, because it's hard to know what is next for him, because, I mean, he could be, like we've always said, this gatekeeper thing. He could almost be like Figueiredo's gatekeeper. Like, you only get a shot at Figueiredo if you can beat Benavidez or something like that, you know. Although then that's kind of rubbish, because if he beats everybody behind him, then he's due. Maybe he might get another shot. Maybe he might walk towards getting another shot at Figueiredo. Who knows? You know, a lot can happen in a couple of years, mate. Like, you know, you fight three or four times in the next 2 years. If he wins four in a row against guys like Askarov, Pantoja, Formiga, all the guys around about him, then he's, you know, he's back in the conversation straight away. Do you know what I mean?
Has he got four fights left in him, though?
Who knows, mate? He's 35 and doesn't look old. He doesn't look, you know, he doesn't seem like that. I mean, I know obviously the heavier guys can sometimes go later in their careers. So I'm not really sure why that's always the case, but I mean, as long as he's healthy and he wants to fight, then why not fight? I mean, listen, he might only have a couple of fights left in his contract. He might fight out of his contract and go, do you know what, game's a bogey, lads, that's me done. But who knows, man, who knows? I mean, listen, there's tough fights out there for him. You know, Pantoja's a tough fight. Askarov, these are guys we'll talk about in a wee bit, but these two guys are tough fights for Figueiredo, never mind for, you know, Benavidez. So you might find that he fights one of these guys, loses again, and that's him, you know, kind of done.
I wonder, I'm just having a look, obviously we'll talk about Dom Cruz earlier and get meeting with him twice. Maybe that's something he wants to try and get back.
Maybe we'd need to step up, though. I can't see Dom Cruz coming down to 125.
Yeah, no doubt he would need to step up at 135, but would it do him any harm towards the end, back end of his career? Maybe go, not chase a money fight as such, but maybe go and chase a couple of legacy fights as such. Kind of imagine going and beating Dom Cruz and maybe getting a couple of wins back, and then how good does that look kind of towards the end of your CV? As we were talking about, he's only been beaten by the best of the best within that division.
Yeah. I mean, so, he could also, we don't know what situation he's in, he could leave and go fight elsewhere. Do you know what I mean? He could follow DJ out to Singapore. I don't even think Bellator have got flyweights, have they?
Don't think they have, no, mate. He would probably need to step up to Bantam, I think.
Oh, Sergio Pettis went there, did he not? But did he move up to Bantam?
I think he's fine in Bantam. He jumped between Bantam and flyweight, even in the UFC, didn't he? So I think he's fighting at Bantam. I could be wrong. He's fighting at Bantam.
Yes, he's fighting at Bantam. He's been fighting at Bantam since
2018. Yeah.
So he could step up.
Good. I think it could be an option for him. As I said, it's not necessarily an option for him to go and fight for a title. It's just an option for him maybe to go get a couple of fights that would be interesting. Maybe go for, it's like this, we were talking a while back, obviously we were always talking about the, was it, they call it the Pensioners Championship or something like that, the kind of older guys?
Senior FC, SFC.
Senior, aye, something like that. Maybe he could go and fight, as I said, Dominic Cruz, maybe even Aldo, if Aldo kind of maybe has another couple of fights, they don't go his way, maybe Aldo Benavidez, something like that, just that kind of, legends of the game and such, guys that have been about for years that kind of just want to fight because they enjoy fighting.
Yeah.
Who knows,
man? Who knows? That's a fair point.
What's that?
I was gutted for him, but I was genuinely gutted for him, like, because I'd love to have seen him win it.
I think everybody was, man. I think everybody was, but I don't think MD could argue that Davison Figueiredo was just a level above. The guy is so good. His striking's brilliant. He's really good in the ground, man. His submissions, like, don't get me wrong, Benavidez is brilliant to get that chokehold out. About four or five times that Figueiredo tried it.
Yeah.
Eventually just got it deep, man. It was so deep to finish. It really was. Obviously, even it likes it, game over. Do you know what I mean? So, I don't see him coming near Figueiredo really within that division with the power he's got and how good he is on the ground. He'll be there for a while for me.
I know. We'll see, man. But certainly exciting teams coming through. There's some good flyweights out there, man. We'll talk about them in a wee bit, as I said earlier. But yeah. What about middleweight contenders then, Jack Hermanson versus Kelvin Gastelum.
Yeah, this was also a quick fight. Hermanson with a cracking heel hook finish and mission, it was superb. Obviously, I think Hermanson went for the takedown and Gastelum kind of, pardon me, turned around. And obviously, Gastelum thought he was on top. He was going to try and use a bit of his kind of old school wrestling and try and dominate Hermanson. But he found that finish for somewhere, man. It was absolutely superb.
Did you kind of, I kind of felt right. Obviously, as I say, I always find it difficult to talk about technical stuff because I don't really know, right? But to me, it looked like Gastelum was just a wee bit kind of lazy or lackadaisical when he got taken down. It looked like everything was, I mean, there's all right being calm, because I know like when you're grappling, it is good to be calm and be relaxed, because if you're tight and tense, then it makes things worse. I get that. But it just seemed like Hermanson shot in really quickly. Hermanson was going to work really quickly, and Gastelum just was kind of like, nah, it's all good, man. Take it easy, chill out a wee bit. I just thought, I felt as if he didn't react to that situation at all, man. It seemed so strange. I'm not saying the finish wasn't good from Hermanson, by the way. The heel hook from Hermanson was class, but I just kind of got this kind of vibe from Gastelum that it was all just kind of, he wasn't really, I don't know, mate, it just didn't seem of any urgency to try and get himself out of the situation he put himself in.
Well, see, when you say that, but for me, he turned round the situation, did he not? The way he took Hermanson down in the end. I know Hermanson went for the takedown.
Aye, but after that, I mean, yeah, like after that, once Hermanson started walking in.
Yeah, Gastelum ended up on top. Maybe he was a bit too confident in thinking that, yeah, I can dominate this while I'm on top, not thinking regarding how good Hermanson's, how good he is from his back, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe he was just surprised at how good he was and he didn't realise, and all of a sudden, boom, he's in this heel hook and he's like, shit, what did I do here? I think even when he was in the submission, though, it didn't look as though he was fighting it too much to try and get out of it, which is a bit weird.
Yeah.
He just resigned to the fact that that was it. It was going to be game over, and he was just kind of waiting out so he could tap. It was, as you say, it was a bit strange for Gastelum. This could have been a cracking fight. It really could have been. A bit disappointed that it did get stopped, but at the same time, it was a great stoppage, man. It was a brilliant, brilliant submission.
I love watching Jack Hermanson, man. He's one of my favourites.
He's brilliant when he wins, isn't he, man? His celebrations at the end, he just goes around mental and just starts fucking, he just wants to punch everything at the end. He's just so hyped up.
I guess like so much adrenaline, man. I thought he was a lot older than what he is as well, but he's actually quite young.
Was he 28, 29 or something, I'd have thought?
No, 31, 32.
Just like same age as us then, how far are you?
Yeah, I mean, there's an interesting conversation, right? So obviously middleweights are all over the place. What do you reckon middleweights is going to look like in the next 6 months, like to a year, mate? Like, well, obviously we've got Izzy versus Costa coming up, but outside of that, I mean, Hermanson was on a bit of a tear and then lost that fight to Cannonier in Copenhagen, and it kind of threw him off. You know what I mean? Because there was talks of him getting a title shot and stuff like that.
It did, mate. You're right. Obviously, we'll talk about it later on, but you get Till Whitaker this weekend, which for me is probably a number one contenders fight once.
Yep.
Costa and Adesanya fight.
Yep.
The only way maybe it's not a number one contenders fight is weirdly if Robert Whitaker beats Darren Till. It wouldn't surprise me if Robert Whitaker has to go and fight Jared Cannonier to get that title shot. I think the UFC love Darren Till. I think Darren Till and Adesanya, can you imagine the media coverage of the two of them and the run up to the fight?
Mm.
That is a fight I think the UFC are desperate to make in the long run. And I think if Till beats Whitaker, they'll make that fight.
It's funny, man, because I'm not Whitaker's biggest fan. But I don't know, man. We'll see.
It's an interesting division. I think Hermanson's at least two fights away from, like, there's still two title fights before he's even in the conversation for me.
Yeah, well, then you look at it, mate. You look at it. So you're saying, obviously, Darren Till's ranked fifth. Hermanson, by winning, should by default go up a little bit. In my eyes, personally, that's the way I see it. If you win, you should be, you know, given the chance to promote yourself. If Hermanson, you know, maybe Hermanson fights a Cannonier again to try and get that back, and there, maybe because it's weird how you say that if Whitaker beats Till, Whitaker doesn't get a shot, but if Till beats Whitaker, Till gets a shot. It's so bizarre because
it's not the fair way to do it, but when you're the UFC and you're entertainment business, Tal Adesanya sells tickets, it sells box office numbers, it does that kind of part of it. I think that's why that would happen. From a, as you say, Whitaker, if I really do think if Whitaker beats Tal, we won't get a title shot straight away. I think he would need to beat Cannonier to get that title shot. I don't know why, I just got a feeling that's just the way the UFC are looking at it. They want Tal to beat Whitaker for me, so they can make that fight.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that in a wee bit, I suppose. But
yeah,
back to Saturday, and lost my train of thought there completely. And fight of the night, Rafael Fiziev versus Mark Jacquezzi.
Crying fight, man. It was really good action. The two of them were really good for it. Head to toe. Fiziev, something else, by the way. He is. There's something about that boy, isn't there? There really is, man. He's striking's out of this world for me.
It's weird to look at, man, because he's like really small and stocky, do you know what I mean? But he's, for a lightweight, 5'9" is quite short.
He is quite short, as you were saying. But he makes the most of it. You've seen DKZ a couple of times tried to kind of try to kick him in the head, and he just basically, it's like the old Matrix thing, wasn't it, man? Bending back 180 degrees and just going, you're no getting me type thing. It was, the guy's got mad skills, he really does, man. He really,
does. And well deserved fight of the night, man. The two of them were brilliant. Even Jacquezzi in bits looked amazing.
Jacquezzi did that. That was probably, it's one of those fights that even though Jacquezzi get beat, it didn't do anything to beat because Fiziev looked that good a fighter on the night, do you know what I mean?
Probably the best I've seen Jacquezzi, if I'm honest with you.
He did look decent, he really did. I like Mark Jacquezzi, he always gives everything he's got within the fights, do you know what I mean? He's never enjoys a fight, he's never going to back down at a fight or anything like that, and he's just always up for it. He's always game, so it's always good, man. Always good when he's involved in the fights.
Anything else on this card? I know, because we've got quite a lot to talk about, maybe not go through it all, but is there anything else particularly on this card that you want to talk about, like that you jumped out and you were like, nah, I need to talk about that on Monday night?
Well, there are two fights, the main card. Lipsky's knee bar was just fucking unbelievable, mate. To get that for that angle was just absolutely superb. The strength that she must have is frightening, to be honest. And
it's the adjustments they make, man. That's why I love watching jiu-jitsu and grappling, because it's the slight adjustments that don't look like much when you see it real time, but then see when you look back at the replays and you see the fact that she totally changes her angles. She lifts herself up onto her feet, rotates over to the right a wee bit, which loosens the knee, then she grabs it. Mate, it's honestly fascinating. I love watching it. It's so amazing to see them work like that. It was
brilliant. As you said, all the wee adjustments she made, stuff like that, then she straightened up Carolina's knee as well, and just boom, grabbed it, and the strength and power she had, because, let's be honest, two arms against a leg, you'd go to fancy a leg, I would say. Oh. You'd think the leg muscles should outweigh even the two arm muscles, but aye, that was, what a submission, absolutely superb knee bar. So it was an awkward looking one, it wasn't exactly conventional, but it was brilliant, man.
Yeah.
What about that Self-Pantoja fight for you?
Well, I mean, it was close. It could have probably went either way. For me, Pantoja seemed to slow down as the fight went on.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that, yeah.
And Askarov seemed to kind of have the same level the whole fight for me. I don't know, for me, maybe that just edged it because he was consistent the whole way through. Pantoja came out looking for submissions and looking for just to work in the first round, and I think, not that he burned himself out, but listen, mate, it was really close. It was like wafer thin, you know, it was like a fag paper thick, you know. It could have, honestly, in another night went another way. The only thing I would say is the fact that it was unanimous obviously means that it was maybe a wee bit more one-sided than what people are saying. If it had been a split decision, then obviously maybe you're looking at it going, oh, do you know what, it was close. But for me, Askarov honestly edged it, but I mean, not, if I watch it again, I might change my mind, do you know what I mean? It was that close.
I think because I watched it today, and I was like that, because I messaged you as soon as I'd watched the fight, and obviously Askarov had won, and it was a unanimous decision. I'm going like that. For me, I like somebody wants to go and finish a fight and go and win a fight. Mm. I never felt at any point Askarov was ever going to finish that fight. He dominated maybe against the cage and on the ground at times, but I just loved Pantoja's work to always try and look for that finish, and I gave him the first round, and even, don't get me wrong, Askarov definitely probably won the third for me, but even the second round, I thought Pantoja, just the way he was looking for the finish at times, I liked that. It's just my style of fight. That's what I'm looking for. I want to see people finish fights, and possibly they gave that. I don't know. As you say, it was a wafer thin. It was a fag pipe fight. fag packet fight. It could have been either fighter. That's the thing. So
that's the thing. It could little bit. As I say, I could quite easily watch it again and, you know, see it a completely different way. So it's one of the ones, mate. Do you know what I mean? But it was a good fight, mate. As well, that's the thing. Like, it was a good fight. The two of them are like, on a really high level. Did you know Askarov's actually like 80% deaf?
No. Didn't know that, man. That's a weird one. How's that?
I don't know. I was reading about it because I didn't know either, and I heard it. I think it was Bisping said it on Saturday, and I was like, wow, that's amazing. And I looked, and he was born deaf, but he's managed to, like, kind of get 20% hearing, but he can't hear instructions for his team and all that during the fight. Like, so they don't. That's why you'll notice, like, his team don't shout, like, because he can't hear them. That's absolutely mental.
That is mental, man. It really is.
To get to, like, elite level sport, you know, is crazy, man.
That's fair play for doing that to be Scott, man, because that's absolutely superb. As I said, I realise that. So that's he's probably put himself into flyweight contention now. Do you know what I mean? So that shows you what's possible. He's obviously during a fight. If you're getting pumped for 2 minutes of a fight, he's got to understand and try and make his own adjustments, because his corner can't exactly help him during the fight, as you were saying. So
exactly, no, can't things. Yeah, I know. I mean, see, to be honest, right, obviously, before we start talking about Lipsky and Askarov, I says to you, we don't have a lot of time to talk about everything, and I kind of want to talk about this whole card, because there was good stuff all over the place, man. Like, even Spivak against Felipe was, like, two contrasting styles. Spivak picked him off. Sorokin versus Javi Ramos. Sorokin was unbelievable, man. Like, proper.
It really was, man.
Albazi's try. I mean, honestly, mate, every single one of these. Brett Johns, Montel Jackson, just out of interest, did you think that went Johns' way?
I thought just.
Yeah, it's funny that, because I think, because obviously you thought Pantoja and I thought Askarov. I actually wasn't sure about Brett Johns.
I thought, it was fag papers for me, do you know what I mean? There wasn't a lot in this one.
Yeah. I mean, then, like, Dalidze's knockout of Ibrahimov. I mean, the whole card, honestly, was really good. Even the decisions were good fights. Dawson was absolutely brilliant against Narimani as well. It was just, it was a class night of fighting, to be honest.
It was, man. The only one you missed out was Alvarez Duffy fight. Duffy retired after that, by the way. Do you know that?
Did he?
He's chucked it. That's him done. So,
he's still young as well. That's the thing. But he's lost three in a row. And
yeah, I think he probably knew his time was over with the UFC, and he's probably just going to go back to Ireland, maybe concentrating the coaching aspects of it. But as you say, some great finishes, some great fights, some great performances. Dalidze's a fucking madman. I'd love to see him. I think the rumours are. No, it wasn't him. Sorry, no, he's brilliant as well. Sorry, different guy I was talking about. Was that many bloody fights? I was mixing fighters up there.
Oh, mate, honestly, it's hard to keep track of stuff, man. I remember stuff. You think about stuff, oh, that'll get announced, and then you think that's months away, and then you look at the card next week and it's on that card, and you go, no, hold on, that was only announced last week, but then you look back and it was announced 2 months ago. Honestly, can't he keep up with it, mate? There's just fast. There's so much going on, it's mental.
In it, man. But, no, it was a really good card Saturday. I really enjoyed it. I really did. I enjoyed trying to catch up with it, and it was a challenge, as I say, with a wee man about this. So,
I can't be using that as an excuse, mate. The listeners expect, you know, good analysis and good information. You can't be using him as an excuse.
It's a challenge. See, when your brain's waking up at 7 in the morning on a Sunday and fucking wanting fed, and then you've got this to do and you've got that to do. There's just so much to get done, man. It's unbelievable. But
I know, mate. You'll just need to get him into the MMA so that when you put it on, he's nice and calm and he sits and watches it with you.
Well, I tried that on Saturday night. I was sitting there about 11 o'clock, just sitting cradling him. Bit of fight, you know. I was like, you're fucking beauty. I'll just sit here for a couple of hours and I'll go to my bed. He screamed for the next hour and a half and I couldn't get him quiet. I don't know what was wrong with him. Fed him, changed up, done a lot. I just couldn't get him to shut up. So maybe he doesn't like him. I mean, maybe he's against fighting. Who knows?
Let's hope not.
Let's hope not, indeed, my man.
Okay, so obviously, since we did the last show, there's been another couple of cards. We probably don't have the time to run through everything, if I'm honest. Is there anything specifically you want to talk about, say from last Wednesday, the Qatar Ige card?
Well,
I
haven't seen it. I can only go on what I've heard. Part of Qatar was brilliant against Ige. I'm not surprised, to be honest. I really did fancy him. His boxing's out of this world. So I don't really know what the fight does for Calvin Qatar, to be honest. It probably just keeps him kind of in the mix at the moment. You need another, probably, and I'll fight against a right opponent to really set him to take him on a wee bit.
I think the five rounds would have done Calvin good.
Yeah, that was definitely good for him. I definitely having a wee main event and stuff like that, and that was really good for him, so that was good. Tim Elliott, good win against Ryan Benoit as well. I thought Cody Stamen would have bet Jimmy Rivera, to be honest, as well. I'm surprised at that one. Cody was so good. I was a wee bit surprised they get beat there. Dalia Santos, I heard she was absolutely superb against Molly Khan. I like wee Meatball. I mean, Meatball's a great wee fighter, but I heard Dalia was absolutely superb.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird that main card, obviously, all five fights went to decision. And then you look at the prelims, I think all but one went to decision. So it was brilliant. I heard Jack Shaw was superb as well. Lerone Murphy, Bukowskis as well. The kind of British-based fighters doing really well. So, no, it was part of the Chris Fishgold. Obviously, you get well torn apart, I think, from what I heard by Jared Gordon as well. So I'm going to try and catch up on it. As I said, with a wee man, it's difficult to try and do all these things.
We'll just need to do that. Did you know, just a wee bit of interesting stat for you, that there was a fighter on this card that was removed because he has apparently neo-Nazi ties?
Yeah, I read that just before we came on air, and I went, you're kidding me on. Timo Fuchs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to fight Dennis Baird, but...
You know what the most disappointing thing is, right? Have you ever looked at Kenneth Berg?
No.
Look at Kenneth Berg, man. I've always wanted to see the guy fight. He is... You know how, like, I'm absolutely terrified of Kiefer Crosby?
Aye.
Well, this looks like Kiefer Crosby's bigger, badder, horribler brother, mate. I swear to God, he's terrifying. Like, he's such a scary-looking dude.
Actually, look at the fucking tattoos, man. Jesus Christ.
He's huge, mate. He's absolutely massive. I'm sure I follow on Instagram. I'm sure I came across him a while back. I don't even know how I came across him, but I just did, and I was like, man, he is absolutely terrifying. And
he reminds me of a wee bit of fucking Paige VanZant, fucking man.
Aye, Austin Vanderford.
Is he a wee bit of that look about him as well? But there we go, aye.
Hopefully he gets a fight on it, because I'd like to see him fight and see if he's any good.
He looks like a madman, so it would be interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, just a wee side note for you then, that's all. But yeah. Well, we'll try and catch up on Catherine, obviously, because I like watching the fight, and it's just try to get time, that's all. But
we're busy men, aren't we? So
yeah, exactly. Another thing interesting was the fight bonuses from that night. So the fight of the night was between Munir Laziz and Abdulrazak Al Hassan, but because Al Hassan missed weight, he didn't qualify for the fight of the night bonus, then he gave an extra performance of the bonus to fill out the four fighters.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad they did that.
Interesting, isn't it? So it just shows you could miss weight, have a great fight. I mean, technically he could have won as well, Razak Kazani. He could have beaten Lazez, you know, and still not got his 50k because he missed weight. It just shows you how missing weight actually isn't. It's not incentivized. It never has been incentivized, but I still don't think it's punished enough, but I mean, that's pretty good that it's shit for Abdulrazak Al Hassan. Obviously, not getting these 50k after being out for a couple of years or whatever it was, however long he was out, but it's good that they don't pay him, you know.
No, I don't obviously what his wages were for any, but you'd think at least with that bonus and then maybe he's 20 or 30 grand, whatever you get paid for the fight, he's lost 60 or 70 grand there anyway, do you know what I mean? So it's a fair bit of cash.
Exactly. Okay, so. Weirdly enough, we've not done a show since before 251. So obviously that was a massive night. We're going to talk about it a little bit just now. Also, we can't talk about it all. We just don't simply have the time to fit it in.
No, we don't.
Obviously, the big one is obviously Kamaru Usman and Jorge Masvidal. I could honestly talk about this myself to myself for about half an hour. It's so funny, man. Like afterwards reading stuff and the amount of people who said Kamaru Usman had a chance here to become a superstar. He had a chance to become the guy other than Khabib and Conor and stuff like that. He had a chance to put Masvidal firmly in his place and kind of take over, not take over Masvidal, but honestly put himself on a kind of pedestal and go, right, I am the guy. You need to, if anybody wants this, you're going to have to. And he just didn't, man. It was just so poor. Like, it's so weird, man. It's so hard talking about it because I didn't really think about it like that at the time. It was only afterwards I was reading stuff and I went, wow, that really makes sense to me. And it's just because beating Masvidal and beating Masvidal well would have taken Usman on to a completely different level. It really would have. And I don't mean well as in the way he beat him, because he beat him well enough, but do you know what I mean? He beat him, he could have beat him more spectacularly, I think, is the way I'm trying to get at it.
Aye, definitely. Without doubt, I was bored at my fucking tree with this fight.
Yeah. I mean, just for example, right, see if Usman had went out and done what Jiří Prochazka did to Volkan Ozdemir, people would still be talking about Kamaru Usman, whereas nobody's talking about Kamaru Usman at all. People are actually saying, oh, poor Jorge, oh, Jorge's still the man, it's okay, Jorge, don't worry about it and all that stuff, whereas people should be talking about Usman, and they're not, and that's, I think that's the worst part of this whole thing. Usman was brilliant,
that you say that, right, and I've seen a couple of headlines going, oh, Usman dominates, Usman was brilliant, he was this, he was that. Aye, he may have dominated the fight, he may have kept Masvidal on the ground for 20-25 minutes. Masvidal was fucked after round one.
Yep.
He couldn't fight back. Literally, he just didn't have the strength and the energy to fight back. He went all out in round one. I maybe just gave him round one, maybe just said Masvidal edge, maybe round one for me.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, it was just shit. It
wasn't really traffic at all.
It was, and Usman, Masvidal was fucked, as I say. There's no reason for me that Usman couldn't have went and put the pressure that he can put on fighters and just ground and pound fuck at him in the second round. Why did he not do it? He should have done that. And as you say, if he'd have done that, he's a massive star, but he's not as big as he should be or could be. And this would have set him into a different stratosphere as such. This would have set him up. I would have been going, fuck man, look at this guy who totally dominated Masvidal. See if he'd finished that in two rounds.
Yep.
There'd been no talk of Masvidal being shattered. And after two or three rounds, or after the first round, Masvidal couldn't last. Even if he'd finished in the second, maybe even the third, you could have went, fuck man, the hype around Masvidal and Usman just went and fucking put him away comfortably. In the end, totally dominated him, knocked fuck out him for 10-15 minutes, and it was superb.
Yeah.
He didn't do that for me. He won the fight, he kept his belt, well done, but it's just, no, it was just, oh, I'm just, I was kind of glad we never done a show, because I was kind of dreading talking about this fight after watching it. I really was.
I know. It's weird because he could have put himself on a level where, you know, people were maybe saying, oh, do you know what would be class? Usman McGregor. You know, McGregor steps up, that kind of idea. But people are still talking about Masvidal McGregor, and they shouldn't be. That's the worst part. They shouldn't be. Usman had the chance. See if Usman didn't have the chance, because he definitely did in that round to put Masvidal away. He definitely 100% did. Right, if he hadn't had the chance that it was a close fight, then fair enough, but he had the chance to be the dominant champion that he should be. You know, the way he absolutely destroyed Woodley, and the way, I mean, okay, he didn't destroy Colby, but he finished Colby, do you know what I mean? And I don't know, mate, I was so disappointed. He basically carried Masvidal for 20 minutes, as you say, after the first round. Right. He basically just carried him.
I was just disappointed. I didn't think Masvidal would last this, as you thought. If he never got Usman out there in one or two rounds, that Usman would dead dominate the last three, four, five rounds. Mm-hmm. Because he didn't have a tank in him, and he took a fight in 6 days' notice, Masvidal, so he was never gonna last the distance. So there's no reason why Usman, who after, let's be honest, he was supposed to fight in April. He's supposed to defend his title in April. He's been training for what, 6 months nearly?
Yeah. And
you tell me he was near 100%. He was ready to go in there and not fuck out whoever it was. Yes, fair enough. Maybe fighting Masvidal was slightly different to fighting Gilbert Burns. He was getting ready for Burns. Maybe he was thinking about using his stand-up a wee bit more against Burns. So obviously, he was away training with Gaethje and who's his coach again? I keep forgetting his name.
Whitman.
And he was obviously thinking maybe use his stand-up against Burns, and obviously can't really do that against Masvidal. So he's just kind of went back to type and just kind of not leg-tumped his way to a victory, but it wasn't far off it for me.
Yeah, it wasn't a good man. It didn't even look like he was ever trying to finish, and that was the worst part. It just
That's what got me as well, exactly, 100%. He was just looking to get out of there, scot-free, easy win, boom, there's a bonus, there's a win bonus in the bank, let's get out of here and go and enjoy myself. Even afterwards he said, nah, I'm going to take my daughter away, I've been training for 6 months, who knows when I'll be back, basically that's what he was saying.
Yeah, it's just a weird one, mate. It's a weird one, but, you know. What about Volkanovski Holloway?
This has to be run back again. I'm sorry, we need part three. This has to be part three. For me, Max Holloway won this fight. It's currently 5-5 in rounds between these two, and we need a third fight. For me, anyway. I don't know about yourself, but I think Holloway won this fight.
I agree. I don't think Volkanovski won. It was close, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, it was very close.
It was close, but it was... I don't think Volkanovski won it, mate.
Volkanovski probably stuck the third, because in the last minute, he did kind of dominate Max for that last minute. He done really well. He put a lot of pressure on Max. He's put him on the back foot, really.
Max Holloway was three up, though, mate. Max Holloway was three rounds up.
Yeah, I would disagree for that. But that's the only way I can see people have given Volkanovski the third, because of that last minute. But the 4 minutes previous to that, Max Holloway was superb. First, second, and third round, that was Max Holloway. He's striking, he's kicking, he's distance, UFC distance, or UFC's height. He was fucking superb. And I really did think he won this fight. Without doubt, Max Holloway was three up, getting into the fourth and fifth round. And it was just so disappointing. I must say disappointing Volkanovski won the fight. Disappointing for Max Holloway that he didn't get the win here, because he won that fight, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I agree, mate. It was it wasn't a robbery as such.
No, it definitely was a robbery, but there was no way that, I don't think there was any way that, not sure there was any way that Volkanovski won the fight, but you know what I mean? There was, as we both said, Holloway was three up after three, do you know what I mean? So I'm just really disappointed for Max, because I just don't think UFC will rematch that fight. I'll be surprised, but for me, it has to be.
Yeah, I agree, mate. I agree. What about the other title fight?
See the first couple of rounds for Aldo. I thought he was really good. I was actually surprised how good he was. I think Jan took a bit of time to get started. But once he got started, man, third, fourth round, then into the fifth, man, he just fucking tore Aldo to shreds towards the end, didn't he?
Do you think it was a bad stoppage?
It was difficult. It could have been stopped early. If it had been stopped early, I wouldn't have any issues with it. But Aldo kept... He eventually did get out of the positions he was in, and he did... I'm not saying he was fighting back, but he was trying to recover as such.
Mm-hmm.
If it stopped maybe a minute or so early, it wouldn't have an issue with it.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a massive mistake for the referee or anything like that. Definitely not, but...
It could have been earlier.
The referee, obviously, is a title fight. You've got to give these guys as much possible chance to fight, and you've got to let them fight. It's a title. It's... You never know. Maybe if Petr Yan had lost that fight, he might never have been a title fight again. So you've got to give these guys every opportunity to keep fighting. Do you know what I mean? So, but no, Petr Yan, man, he was superb third, fourth, fifth round. I don't know whether he'll dominate that division. I think there's a lot of high class fighters in that division.
I think Aldo takes it off him.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a statement and a half.
I think Aljamain Sterling will get a hold of Petr Yan, and that'll be a game over, mate. I honestly do. I wasn't a massive Aljamain Sterling fan, honestly. I wasn't. But I don't see enough from Yan, mate, that's going to... I mean, look at Petr Yan's fought, right? He's fought arguably the two of the best to do it, right? Faber and Aldo, right? But Jimmy Rivera, nah, John Dodson, nah, Silva d'Andrade, nah, you know... He's fought decent guys, but nobody absolutely outstanding. And I think if he comes up against... I mean, mate, Aljamain Sterling is on a different level from most in that division. Corey Sandhagen was going to mash Aljamain Sterling, and Aljamain Sterling made extremely short and extremely good work of Sandhagen. So,
Do you think Aljo will actually get the next fight?
Well, he should.
He should, but do you think he will?
Why wouldn't he?
Well, because I seen a wee conversation after it. They were interviewing Dana White, and somebody asked him, is Sterling next for that shot? And he kind of, don't know, we need to wait and see, this. I'm just wondering whether I'm looking at Cody Garbrandt. I think Cody's just one of these fighters that UFC loves, and possibly are looking at possibly putting him back in there. I think it'd be a bit early for Cody myself, but I just wondering, just playing devil's advocate regarding possibly
Well, if you're playing devil's advocate, then I'm playing the part Aljamain Sterling, and I'm telling the UFC to fuck right off if they give Gord Garbrandt that shot. I'd be ripping up my contract, man. I'd be finding a way to that. There's not a chance. I mean, there may be other guys that you could maybe put in front of Aljo. I'm not really sure if there is, but I mean, Cody Garbrandt isn't one of them. Not for me.
As I said, I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate there in the way Dana was talking. Or not talking, really, to be honest, because he kind of just backfilled it and just kind of not refused to answer the question, but he kind of, obviously, you've got Marais in there as number one as well. That's the thing. He's just kind of no man's land as well.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose the argument is that, you know, Sterling and Garbrandt are the next two guys after Marais. Marais, is Marais not supposed to be fighting somebody, though? Is he not booked to fight somebody?
Pass, mate. I've not heard anything. Regarding Marais, if he's got a fight coming up or not.
No, he's not. I thought he did. Maybe he'll get a shot at Jan, because technically he should have got the shot at Jan before Aldo did. So
for BI, definitely, without doubt, he should have been next.
Maybe, but I don't know, mate. I just think
I shouldn't have even been fucking better Jan versus Aldo in the first place. It probably should have been Marais Aljo, but that's a different matter.
Yeah. Well, that is a completely different matter. We'll see, mate. I wouldn't like to think that they would have Garbrandt ahead of Sterling. I really hope not, mate. Aljo's the undershot, if you ask me.
Oh, definitely. Well, I'm not doubting that. For me, Aljamain Sterling should win that title fight. He is the man to fight Petr Yan next, and I've no doubt in that in my mind that is what should happen. But I'm just looking at the Garbrandt name. I'm looking for him. He's a former champion. He's a former superstar with the UFC. Just maybe they need to put a title fight on somewhere. Maybe they need to put a name on a card some point in the bantamweight, and you put a Cody Garbrandt's name on it. It sells box offices, doesn't it? It sells pay-per-views.
It's funny because, like, Dana White confirmed that the Sandhagen fight was a title eliminator. Do you know what I mean?
Then, as I say, the way they acted, did they maybe not expect Garbrandt to perform how he did perform on that night?
Yeah, maybe.
Possibly. I don't know. As I said, I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate. Kind of try to work out what Dana was talking about, or as I say, not talking about. But we'll see. But interesting division, man. It's really good, that division. I love the bantamweights.
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be good. Anything else on? I mean, there's loads on 251. To be fair, like, I mean, Yuri Prochazka, mate.
That's a scary dude. By the way, he is a fucking scary dude. Honestly, he's mental as well. He hangs his chin out there. I'm just waiting for a big Volkan to take him out, but. He never done it, and then Prochazka just hit him with that, and it was just unbelievable. I want to see him fight Johnny Walker, because I think that would be the most fucking greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Him or Rakic?
Something like that, man. I just think it'd be a mental fight.
Imagine Yuri Prochazka versus Alexander Rakic in somewhere like Germany or Croatia or fucking Czech Republic, fuck it, his hometown. Imagine that, man. Headlining the card, that would be absolutely fucking amazing, mate.
Hang on, see that one? That put some fucker in there for me, do you know what I mean?
He's ranked eighth, mate. He's ranked eighth.
Exactly, it puts him right up there. He's only got maybe another two fights, and he's fucking fighting. It's not a deep division. We've said this before with him, so yeah. That'll be interesting, man. I want to go back. You missed Rose, right? I want to talk about Rose, because...
Oh, fuck yeah.
Just a quick one regarding the fact that, obviously, she took a year out after the last fight against Andrade. She'd been a lot of tough time. We didn't know if she was actually going to come back, but I just thought for the first two rounds of this, Rose Namajunas was fucking back. She was sensational. She took Jessica Andrade apart. Don't get me wrong, Andrade came back into the third, but wow, Rose was just super, man. She, for me, she proves she's one of the best female strikers there is. There's no many better, technically better strikers than Rose Namajunas, and she was just brilliant.
She's good because she's rangy, mate. She keeps people at range. She was really, really good. She's so focused when she's fighting. It's like she literally wants to just punch in the face every time. It's not even, she's like, not that I'm saying, obviously that's the aim of the game, right? But you'll see a lot of fighters fainting and stuff like that. I don't know. Like, I just seen, like, Namajunas has got one intention, and that is burying her fist into your face as many times as she can. I don't know what our percentage is for strikes landed, but it must be so high. It must be.
Technically, she's so advanced in the way she does it, man. It's just brilliant. It really is. Just, as I said, especially in that strawweight division, there's not a better striker than her. Yeah, maybe Zhang's heavier. It's a lot harder. But for connecting with your face constantly, Rose is your girl for me.
She only lasted 44%.
Is that all?
Yeah.
I'm surprised at that. I thought it was better than that. But
she only landed 55 of 125 significant strikes, which is interesting. I would have thought it was a lot higher than that.
Would have had, but she'll get a title shot next, I would think, anyway. Her against Zhang will be a cracker.
Yeah.
Amanda Ribas has put herself right in that title talk. I know the fight that she won was at flyweight, but she looked fucking shit hot, man. She looked really, really good. I know she only, I say she only beat Paige VanZant. That's maybe harsh on Paige, but she still looked tremendous.
Sorry, hold on a minute. I was looking at the wrong thing. I was looking at the fight from 237 with Rose. So she landed. Well, worse, it was 34%. Well, oh well.
Yeah, we'll just delete that stat, I think, huh?
Yeah, why not? Much else on this?
Just a wee hanging for Danny Henry. Just a bit of a shame, man, the way that fight ended. I thought it started okay, but Amar Khan just got hold of him and just kind of got out of it, man. I was disappointed. I was hoping to see Danny really kick on and maybe push forward in that division, but it was a bit of a shame, that fight. Amar Khan was superb. Great finish, though. What was that?
He was proper gutted after it. Like, he seemed genuinely devastated after it. He was proper, like in his comments and he's like, after it, he was just like, oh, man, I'm gutted, because it just...
I think after being on for so long and then coming back and put a lot of work and effort into coming back, you would be really disappointed. But hopefully we'll see him again soon. Hopefully we'll be back long. As I said, I think the UFC think a lot of him. I think him and Amar Khan were probably just outside the top 15, so...
Yeah.
I think we'll definitely see him back again, because I can see Amar Khan getting a ranked opponent next.
Mm, can see that, mate, yeah. Well, then Amar Khan was on the back of a loss as well, so...
I think he always seems to get the fights again. He's one of these fighters I think the UFC seem to like. There's just something about him. I don't know what it is, but there's just something about him.
Yeah.
Just one thing, David Grant, what a finish, by the way. What a finish, what a punch that was. A man who's not known for his punching. That was absolutely savage.
Right, I wasn't really sure which way that fight was going, to be honest. That fight could have went in the way of Martin Day, to be honest.
I wasn't sure myself. I thought Davey was doing really well, but to get that finish, though, and just put a fucking stamp on the fight, really, and just get out of the road was just brilliant, I've got to say, for me, anyway.
Yeah.
But
it was class, mate.
Again, it was another great card. We could talk about. You had some great fights. Zaleski Santos, Ali Kelev was a great fight. Even Paiva versus Zhumagulov was a good fight. It was just full of action, man. It was just brilliant.
But it was, mate.
We could talk for days, but no goat days, I'm afraid.
I know. Okay, right. That's us kind of looked back at all the fights that have been. So let's do a quick... We'll have a wee look forward to this weekend. Mate, there's 15 fights in this card.
I was just about to say that. I'm looking at the card going, is that 15 fights I'm counting?
15 fights. So, I mean, there's no way we've got time to talk about all this, mate. But, mate, there's some names on this. You've got Nat Wood on this. You've got Betch Correa, Pani Kanzad, Tanner Bozer, who fought a couple of weeks ago. We were pure impressed with him. He's haircut member.
Yep.
Evloev class as well. Tom Aspinall making his UFC debut. Dalby, who we've got a good feeling about. Fucking Jai Herbert making his debut against one of the best at that weight class. You know, it's, mate... This card's mental. I'm not even out the prelims yet. I mean, it's crazy. Obviously, Reese McKee, we were talking about yesterday. It's just mental.
It's a brilliant card, mate. It's one of these cards you actually look at and go, well, man, if this was a pay-per-view, you could easily see why a cartel's a title fight. Do you know what I mean? For Doom Gustafsson, man, you've got two kind of former legends as such, but obviously Gustafsson coming back as well, man. It's just...
Not even. I'm so excited, mate. You've no idea.
I can't wait to see him at heavyweight. I want to see what he is at heavyweight. I hope he's not a fat heavyweight. If you know what I mean, I hope he's just built and put a bit of muscle in. I haven't seen any pictures of him, so I don't even know what he's like now.
Nah, he's been quite quiet, mate. I'm sure I follow him on Instagram, but he's quite quiet. But I mean, I'm just buzzing to see him back, mate. To be honest, he's my favourite. Man, he's literally my favourite fighter. So I'm absolutely buzzing to see him back, if I'm honest.
Aye, it's been good to see him back, as you say, man. He's a fighter that everybody really likes, Gus, that's the thing, mate. I've just enjoyed watching him, and he's just good to watch, man. He really is.
Gotta be good, man. It's gonna be some card, like Even Big Paul Craig's on this. I totally forgot that Paul Craig was fighting on it. Do you know what I mean?
A tough fight against Antigulov. I know Antigulov's lost his last two, but he's still a decent fighter, man. He picked up a couple of decent wins at the start of his career. So that'll be interesting. Hopefully Big Paul will get there, do the business, and come back with a win.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Obviously, we've kind of briefly chatted about Till Whitaker. It's a pretty big deal, I think, in that division.
As mate, as we were saying earlier, for me, this is a weird one. As I say, it's a kind of a number one contenders fight, but only for Darren Till. Just the way I'm looking at it, and that sounds stupid to say, because you think whoever wins this fight should fight the winner of Adesanya Costa, without doubt, but I just think Whitaker, maybe after the manner of the defeat against Adesanya last time out, he might need another victory, possibly against the likes of a Cannoneer, to then get another title shot. Whereas Darren Till, because of the name, because of the box office numbers he could do, because of the pay-per-views he could pull in, I think if he wins this fight, he will fight Adesanya next for that title. It's weird. Yeah. It's a weird one. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes on the night. I don't even know how to judge the fight, to be honest. I can't even think in my head who's actually going to win the fight. I don't have an outstanding man. I couldn't pick one, I don't think.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
You could easily see maybe Till using his range. He's kicking, maybe keep Whitaker away, but at the same time, Whitaker's kind of, he can be quite aggressive and quite pressurised, and will Till get a chance to do that? Who knows? Yeah. I'll have interest, and I'm looking forward to it, but I can't fight.
It will be, man, it's going to be class. I guess the tea break, or your break to get juice and chocolate, is Shogun Rua versus Lil Nog.
Probably. You'll get your last beer or your can of juice to set yourself up for watching Whitaker Till, because I'm not saying it's going to be a snooze fest. It could be interesting, but again, this goes back to this could be an SFC number, a wee seniors fighting championship in it. So it's I'm not exactly buzzing, to be honest. Am I? It's a bit, really.
Yeah,
they're dragging these two back out.
It's like a trilogy, isn't it? It's the last of the trilogy.
Yeah, I think they fought each other twice already, but did the Shogun not win the other two?
I think so.
Shogun won the other two, so it kind of seems pointless. It's a weird one. It's a fair fight. Obviously, Shogun probably, for us anyway, is definitely a Scotsman, beaten by Paul Craig last time out.
It's a draw, is it not?
Yeah, it finished a draw, but I think a lot of people did to Paul Craig winning that fight, and that would have been a massive win for Paul Craig.
Yeah.
So, for me, you'd definitely look at Shogun and go, really? I probably still fancy Shogun for the fight, to be honest. I still would expect him to win the fight, but I'm not interested.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry, man. I think there's so much more in this card to get buzzed about right at the start. Like, Nat Woods, fuck, I love to watch Nat Woods, you know what I mean? He's just brilliant to watch. Tanner Bosso's a bit of a madman, I can't wait to watch him. It's just, there's so many on this card, man. Nick Dalby, you always love watching him, he's involved in great fights. Just, to have they two up there, I can understand why, but it's just, there's so many more fights in this card I'd rather watch than watch they two, put it that way.
I know. All right. That's a wee kind of brief look forward to the weekend. Kind of squash that in there at the end. Anything else?
No, I don't have anything else, I'm afraid, mate. I think this card's a wee bit earlier, by the way. It's another 10 o'clock start on Saturday.
That's good.
I'm just looking there. It says 5 p.m. Eastern, so I'd imagine that'll be 10 p.m. UK, won't it? So,
cool.
I see a good bit of it, so wait and see. I don't have any news for you, man. I'm out of time.
Nah, that's alright, man. You got a good excuse, as I said.
So as well.
Thanks, as always, for listening, guys. If you have, really appreciate it. Get us on the socials at Inside Cage MMA, Inside the Cage, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Hit us up, send us a message, let us know. And if you do listen, hit the share button, please. We beg you. And click the subscriber follow button as well. It's always good to see how many followers we've actually got on the platform. So Yeah, thanks for listening, and we will be back next week.